Why Do We series. And we're going to be looking at church membership here this morning. So I'm trying to think back. Have I ever heard a sermon about church membership? I can't remember one. I don't know if you can, but I can't remember one. But it's actually an area that is quite important. Church membership, for some would argue or even suggest that maybe it's a little antiquated. Smacks of something of a Victorian era. And a kind of membership of clubs was very much a Victorian thing. If you were part of a club, you became a member. You had your little membership card. You signed up to the regulations and the rules of the club. And you became a member. The membership would decide whether you were suitable to be in membership. That was a kind of Victorian way. And the sad thing is that the church membership of the Baptist church, which Baptist churches have had membership for many, many, many years, could be seen a little bit like that. And some have kind of suggested over the years that, you know, is it valid to have church, formal church membership today? And actually, I've been one of those people that have considered that. I've wondered whether it is the right format in which we should organise ourselves today. And I have come to the conclusion that I think it is still right, but we've got to get it, we've got to understand it in the right way. If we understand it in the wrong way, then actually it can be a very dangerous thing. If we understand it in the right way, if we understand it in a biblical way, if we understand it in the way that Jesus taught us, then it will be a very healthy thing. So I want to spend just a bit of time thinking about what it means to be a member of God's church, a member perhaps even of Eastleigh Baptist Church. Let's just take a moment just to pray, though, before we kind of launch into this. So let's just bow our heads and just ask God to help us, because we want to hear what he has to say. Lord, we thank you that church was your idea. It belongs to you. It's your great idea. And although sometimes we may struggle with it at different times, we thank you, Lord, that you believe in it. And so, Lord, as we come to this, to Scripture and to think about membership, Lord, by your Spirit, guide us, lead us, speak to us, we ask, in your grace and goodness, that we might learn from you and you alone. Amen. Let me say a couple words, firstly, if I may, about what membership isn't. And then we'll move on to four things about what membership is. Firstly, membership, church membership, is not ownership. And in the Victorian era, to some extent, if you were a member of a club, you owned it. But that's not the case in terms of church membership. You don't own much at all, actually, as a church member. You might think you do, but you don't. You don't own the buildings. You don't own the ministry. And you don't own the paid members of staff. You don't own any of that. The buildings is owned by the BU Corporation. Sorry to tell you that. The ministry belongs to... Actually, it all belongs to Jesus, actually, ultimately. The ministry belongs to Jesus. So it's not about ownership. And no one should ever become a member because they think, oh, I own a plot of land in the centre of Eastleigh. That would be the wrong reason to become a member. To be a member is also not about management, you may be surprised. It's not about an opportunity to have your say in the mix of everything that's going on. Now, you may come back on me and we'll say a little bit about this a little bit more. Yes, it is an opportunity for you to share in the saying and the decision-making of the church, but it's not. You don't become a member to have your say. And nor do you become a member to tell others what they should do. It's not like a management kind of structure. And also, and I want to say this, and some of the diaconate and perhaps even Richard will get a bit fidgety in his chair, but we live with that, and I'm sure he can. But it's not about you financing the church. It's not about you becoming financiers of the church, funding the programme. And this comes on the other side, where people can encourage you into membership and say, you've got to be a member because we need your money, kind of thing. And we need lots of members to pay for the things that the church is doing. That's not what membership is about at all. So we need to put all those things to one side. Oh, yes, we do rely on members giving, of course. And we're actually going to do a session on why do we give financially to the church. But that's not the purpose and reason why we become members. So what are they? Well, I've got four for you. I could have come up with more. You can come up with your own sermon later if you feel there's something important that should have been added. My four are this. First one is we belong together. We become members because we belong together. Look at Ephesians 4 with me. Now, some of you that are astute and clever would have noticed that we had part of this reading a few weeks ago. So if you noticed that, well done. But I've gone back to this passage because I think this passage also is helpful in what we're looking at today. Look at Ephesians 4, particularly at verse 4. How many ones do we find in that verse? Well, Paul writes, there is one body, one spirit, just as we were called to be, to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That is how many? Seven. Well done to those that were counting. Just making sure you're still awake. Seven. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Seven ones. Now, you know when Scripture writes and repeats things, it's trying to make a point, isn't it? It's trying to make the point. And the point is this, that we, the church, are one. And the reason that we are one is because we come from one. We come from the one who is one. God himself. And this is Pentecost Sunday, so we kind of remember in the Spirit, and the Trinity particularly, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that great saying, the Jewish saying, God is one. God who is united and completely in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is united in one, completely together. And out of him flows his purposes, his revelation, his truth, his salvation. And he, being one, draws people to himself so that we might all be one. You'd be fed up with the word one in a moment or two. But if you get the point, well, it's worth it. And so, out of all this, Paul is saying, you become one body because we have one spirit, we have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We've all been through the same baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because there is one God. So whether you like it or not, we are one. We belong together. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't agree where the majority are going and we want to do our own thing. And we've discovered that over history many, many times. When people within the church have got upset with the things that are going on inside the church and they've decided that they won't be one anymore, they will be many. And so they kind of separate. And that's one of the reasons why we have so many denominations across the church. But the truth of Scripture is actually we are called to be one. We can see the breakup of the church generally across our nation and our world, but you can see it sometimes just in church life. You find that there are those who say, yes, I identify with the oneness because I sense that I belong. I belong to you and you belong to me. And whether, you know, we get on all the time doesn't matter. We in Christ, who was one with the Father and the Spirit, as he was one, we will be one. And so you identify with that and you say, yes, I'm going to stand with everyone else. And occasionally you get others, for whatever reasons, all kinds of different reasons, that say, actually, I don't want to feel that I'm at the centre of everything. I want to be on the edge. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to be part of the bigger body. But actually, Scripture says, we are one. We are one. Membership is about belonging together because we belong together. Whether we like it, it's not our choice. The choice is Jesus. It is his choice to bring us together as one. And so at the beginning, membership is about belonging together. I say to people when they come to me and talk to me about membership, I say, firstly, membership is about belonging. If you feel like you belong here, if you feel this is your spiritual home, you feel you want to serve and worship Jesus here, then you're a member. Just put your hand up and say, just to confess that's what you are. And there's some people here who are formal members, and you'll put your hand up and say, yes, that's what I am. And there are others of you that aren't. You've never actually put your hand up, formalized, and said, actually, this is where I belong. But if it's where you belong, belong. Put your hand up and say, I belong here. I belong to you. You belong to me. This is where God has called me to be. And we praise God for that. So the first thing is that we belong to each other. Second thing is we journey together. Pilgrims walking on the same road. I want to take you back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Tom took us to that passage. Strange, you know, this passage I haven't read for many, many years. And then suddenly, you know, when passages come up quite regularly, about three or four times this passage in different circumstances has come up. And I want to take you back to that. If you've got a Bible, turn to it because you'll find it useful. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 7 to 12. And in this passage, it talks about a person that's on their own and the reasons why it's better to be together. Let me read it to you. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither a son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless and miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Tom Riley said that this is a passage that often is read at marriage ceremonies, and it's a good one. But I want to tell you, it's not really about marriage. It's about being community. It's about being friends. And Tom did that great sermon that we should never got, infamous now, I do believe, all about the peg. So every time we're putting up our washing, we think of Tom. Which is a shame. But we will put up with it. Tom kind of mentioned this passage in the light of why we have coffee. And I'm fascinated of how much of this series, I didn't plan this, but how much of this series brings us back to the point of unity. And how much in church we do because of unity. Why do we have coffee? Because of unity. It came up in leadership. Leadership is about keeping the church together. And it comes up again in this passage. We journey together. We journey together. God has brought us to a place. You know, as you're journeying along and you're walking, people have come alongside. And we're at that same place, on that same road, journeying along that same path together. And this passage is great about journeying because there are actually six things. Tom didn't draw these out, but there are six things that I just want to quickly go through that are actually key to journeying together. And they all come up in this. In verse 8, it talks about helping one another. Verse 8 and verse 10. The person on their own is toiling on their own because they have no help. That's a negative. But we find in verse 10 that the one who falls, his friend, can come and help him. When you've got a friend who's journeying alongside you, you've got someone to help you in situations. The second thing, this is about purpose, is about shared purpose. The person who's on his own asks this question in verse 8b. He says, what am I doing this for? Have you ever done that when you're on your own toiling away and you're kind of thinking, this is hard work, but why? It's just for me. When you're together, when you're with others, when you're sharing the purpose, there is a greater purpose of why we do things together. Thirdly, there's productivity. The man who works on his own has little return for his work. But those who work together are productive. More is achieved. I know I'm going to confess to you. Not sure if I want to, but I will. I play a game on the Kindle called, some of you might as well, who knows? It's called Township. I quite like, a few smirks. All this side are going, what? They don't know anything about it. But anyway, it's a game, it's an app that you can download on, as I got it on my Kindle or your Android system or probably your other systems. And you build your own little town. And you have a little farm and you have factories and you make things and you sell them. Shut up. Trains arrive. It's in my moments of downtime, you realise. ships arrive, I have aeroplanes arriving. And at first, I did it all on my own. There was this part of the game where you could invite friends to come and join you, but I didn't want to invite any friends to be part of my town. And then I discovered that if you invite friends, they help. And the things that you can't make in time to get onto the aeroplane because the aeroplane's about to take off, they can produce those things for you and fill your boxes. Oh, it's really excited. You all want to play this game now, don't you? And they can fill your boxes. And so what I've discovered is actually the more friends, the better. So I've got friends with people with names I can't pronounce. You know, they've got characters that I don't even know how to pronounce the characters to their names. They're all over the world. Chinese people, South Koreans, I guess, some Americans, some maybe in the UK. Who knows? Certainly some Russians. I recognize some Russian names in this. I don't know who they are, but they're my friends. And my friends, and I'm their friend. Shut up, Tom. Stop laughing. You see, I don't believe this, John. And I help my friends as well. And when I help my friends, it helps me. And what I'm discovering, actually, when we help each other, we all go further. We're not competing with each other. We're just supporting each other. And more is produced. That's my point. More is produced when we work together. When we work alone, little is produced. When we work together, when we all pour in our effort and our time and our availability and our resources, more is achieved. The fourth thing in Ecclesiastes is warmth. Tom kind of mentioned that it's when you're married, it's nice to lie together because you'll get warm. I don't actually think this is about marriage particularly. I just think it's when you're journeying, when you're outside, when it's cold, when the nights come and it falls below a certain temperature. All those who are used to sleeping outside will know it's better to sleep close together because you keep each other warm. And two lying down together keeps other warm. And let me say this to you. When the coldness of the night comes, when you're on your own, in your faith particularly, in your journeying on your own, how hard it is to keep going. But when there's someone else or others who stand close to you, in the coldness of the winter, the seasons, when you face a difficulty and yes, Sue and I just want to say thank you so much to you all for standing with us through our time of grief for Sue's mum. It's so much easier. It's so much warmer. You know, you don't feel the cold so much. You feel the cold, but you don't feel it so much. And that's what membership is partly about, isn't it? Journeying together, that you may warm each other. It's about defence. When times of battle come, when something attacks you, and do not forget that we are part of a spiritual battle. Severe spiritual battle. Where the devil will do anything to stop his church being effective, particularly if he can break the church up. But when we're together, we defend together. We might not attack together. It's not talking about attacking anything, but we defend together. We stand alongside each other. There's greater security in more than one. And lastly, it talks about, that's in verse 12, if you're following the passage. And lastly, in verse 12, again, in the second part, it talks about strength and sustainability. The cords of three strands is not quickly broken. And again, Tom kind of mentioned that often the commentators talk about these three strands being, you know, husband and wife and God. And yes, you can apply it that way. But not necessarily. I mean, God certainly must be part of our picture. Of course he must. He's absolutely central to everything we do. But the point that he's making is that two people keep each other warm, three people keep each other strong. It's about community together. It's about being together. It's about sustainability. When I was younger, I did a bit of running when I was at school, cross-country running. And we had this sponsored walk that we did every year. Our school did a sponsored walk. And then some of us, the mad ones, decided that we would run this sponsored walk. So the sponsored walk was normally about 12 miles, about half a marathon. And so some of us would run it. Crazy, but we would. And I remember running, the first time I ran it, I was young, a younger person, probably about 14. And I knew the older runners would beat me. But I had a mate called Stephen Pattenden. And Stephen was about the same size as me, same strength as me. Stephen was part of the cross-country running club. And so we stood on the line at the beginning. And we looked at each other in the eye and we thought, nothing was said, but we thought, I could beat you. And he looked at me and thought, I could beat you. And we marched off and off we went and we began to run this race. And I got in front of Stephen and I thought, great, I'm doing well. And then I got to about 8 miles and my legs began to kind of feel like lead weights. And I was thinking, I'm never going to get to the end. And I looked round and I saw Stephen pounding up behind me. And I thought, oh no, I can't let him beat me. And it's all about competition. And he eventually arrived alongside me and he began to step ahead. But then he began to wane and he came back and we were running together. And we could, you know, we're kind of thinking, oh, I've got to beat my mate Stephen. And then there was something, I don't know whether he said it or I said it, but we said, there's a conversation, it wasn't a long conversation, you understand. It was a panting conversation. And it was something like, let's pass the line together. And something went in our heads and we thought, actually it's better to run together and to support each other and to encourage each other than to compete with each other. And as we were journeying along, what we discovered, that we found greater strength as we ran together. And then a third person came alongside and they were struggling. I don't know who they were, but we included them in the group. And the three of us, and when we saw the line, the temptation was, do I sprint now? And it was, no, let's go over together. Because we discovered sustainability and strength as a group together. We didn't quite hold hands, you understand. But we got over the line together. Membership is about journeying together. It's about help. It's about purpose, shared purpose. It's about productivity. It's about warmth. It's about defense. It's about strength. It's about sustainability. That's why we have church membership. It's about discerning together. I need to watch the time. I'm going to go really fast for this, but this is so important. It's about discerning together. A band of prophets, I've described as that. If you've got your Bible, you might want to turn to Joel 2. But Joel 2, verse 28 and 29, these great passages that were quoted at Pentecost. And afterwards I will pour my spirit on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. This is the promise of Scripture, that when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured upon all those who believed in Jesus, upon the church, as the church was formed, as we've celebrated the great birthday of the church, that together there is a prophetic nature of the church. The prophetic nature of the Spirit is poured out upon us, that together we hear what God is saying, not alone. So as we gather together as God's people, in Acts, together comes up a number of times relating to the Spirit. Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They weren't scattered all over the place. It didn't come when they were kind of, one was over there and one had gone home to Galilee and someone else was in Samaria. No, it's when they were together, when they were praying together, that the Spirit was poured out upon them. Acts 4 verse 24 and 31, that passage is about the time when Peter and John are released from prison. And when the church hear about it, what do? They gather together in prayer. And after they pray, in verse 31, Luke records for us that the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So together, the Spirit of God again was poured out upon their lives so that they would become the prophetic voice into their culture and their time and their generation. We see it again in Cornelius. Cornelius, a Gentile, when Peter was speaking to him, he was with a crowd of people. It doesn't use the word together, but we know there was a crowd of people because it says, while Peter was still speaking, the words of the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And so it goes on, and you find this time and time again in Scripture, that the pouring out of the Spirit of God is in the place of togetherness. Why? So that you and us, we together, discern what God is saying. Paul Beasley Murray says the church meeting should be the most exciting meeting that the church has. I think every time the church meets, it should be exciting. I don't know about the church meeting in my experience. It hasn't always been the most exciting, but it should. Because it's that moment when we say, we're going to come to God in prayer and gather and say, God, what are you saying to us? By your Spirit, reveal to us, your church, the things that you want us to know. And every and each and every person in the togetherness of that meeting has a role and a place. We become a band of prophets. Women, children, old folk, young folk, men, everyone, as the Spirit of God is poured upon us together. And for me, this is one of the most exciting things about membership. It's exciting to belong together. It's exciting to journey together. But it is exciting. Is it not exciting that God has promised that when we come together, he pours his Spirit into our time together that we might know what he is saying? Is that exciting? Somehow we've lost the excitement of it. It is not, folks, the individual, me being filled with the Spirit of God, having my gifts glorified to everyone, everyone going, wow, aren't they great? It's not about that at all. Church is about us being together and the Spirit of God being poured into us together. And your gift and my gift doesn't matter. What matters is that God is speaking to us as a community of God's people. And God forgive us when we've made our church meeting so boring. God forgive us when you come going, oh no, it's another church meeting. Come to the next church meeting on June the 18th. We've just changed the date. I apologise, but it clashed with the last question course. We hadn't foreseen that. Come expecting God to move amongst us, to speak to us together. And some members say to me, I can't be there, but I want my view known. I say this, you've misunderstood membership. There are times when you can't be there, but those times are not to moan that you can't express your view. Those times are to pray for those that gather and pray. Because it's as those people gather together that God speaks. It's not about a personal view. It's about a corporate entering into the very presence of God. That's membership. And God pours out his gifts upon his church as we do that. B.Z. Murray says it's to be the prophetic, charismatic meeting of the church. And I continue to pray that that will be the case. And finally, we serve together. A priesthood of all believers. And 1 Corinthians 12 is probably the greatest passage. I'm not going to spend much time on this passage. Just on a few verses. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. Where Paul writes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. This is verse 4 onwards. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous signs, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each just as he determines. We serve together. Each and every one of us, given different gifts, different abilities, some natural, some supernatural, that we might bring those to the common good of the church, that we might serve each other, but more importantly, that we might serve the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. A community, vibrant, filled with the power of God, empowered by him, so that we might reach out and say, this is the love of Jesus. This is the love of God himself. And we're all different. I mean, just look at us. We're all so, so different. And yet gifted in so many different ways. And for some, it's taken time for you to discover your gifts. For others, it becomes more obvious, quicker. But it doesn't matter. Each and every one of you has gifting. But we do that together. We don't do it to climb the ladder of success or glory. We do it to share with each other, to stand alongside each other, to hold on to each other, to complement each other, to go further for the glory of Jesus. So for these four reasons, the fact that we belong together because God is one and we are one. The fact that we journey together, supporting each other, encouraging each other, keeping each other warm, defending, strengthening, sustaining each other. Because we might discern together, that he might fill us with his spirit, and that we might have a prophetic word from God for our time, and that we might serve together. These are the reasons that membership is in place. Do you share those? If you do, are you a member? And if you're not, why don't you become one? All you've got to do is say, I'd like to be part of that. I belong. I want to journey with you. I want to be part of that prophetic gift of God. And I want to serve alongside you. If that's you, come. Be part of God's church, Jesus' church. Be part of this church as we serve and seek to glorify Jesus. We're going to share in communion together, which seems very fitting, doesn't it? That we come to this table. Because it's a table that unifies us. It's a table that reminds us of all that he has done for us. That in him, the oneness of Jesus, oneness with his Father, empowered by the Spirit, he gave of himself for us that we might become part of him, part of them, that we might be one with God himself, and that we might be one with each other. So we do not eat this on our own, but we eat it alongside each other. Let's pray. Let's just bow our heads in prayer, and then we're going to sing in a moment or two.